Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 2 Peter 2, the verses 1 to 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. My theme for reflection is exposing spiritual con artists. Exposing spiritual con artists. Have you ever felt the sting of being deceived, only to realize later how skillfully you were misled? Today's scams come in many forms, from dubious investment schemes to fake online giveaways. But one kind of scam is as old as humanity itself, the deception of false spiritual teachers who lure believers into dangerous heresies. These spiritual con artists don't just harm wallets, they endanger souls. In 2 Peter 2, the Apostle Peter warns about such false teachers, exposing their methods, motives, and ultimate destiny to protect the body of Christ from spiritual harm. Peter reminds us that false teachers are not a new phenomenon. They were present in the days of the Old Testament, and they continue to infiltrate the church today, cloaked in sheep's clothing, while spreading destructive heresies. These spiritual frauds do not come with open hostility to the faith. Rather, they stealthily introduce their teachings, mixing biblical truths with subtle lies. Like a drop of poison in a glass of water, even a small amount of false teaching can lead to spiritual death. In today's world, this danger is especially prevalent in the rise of prosperity gospel teachings, particularly in parts of Africa and among global Pentecostal movements. These self-proclaimed prophets and so-called anointed people of God often promise health, wealth, and success to their followers, who are encouraged to give generously to the ministry as a demonstration of faith. The allure is strong. Who wouldn't want to escape poverty and live in divine favor? Yet the promises of these false teachers come with a price, often financially exploiting the most desperate and vulnerable. They tell their followers that sowing a seed of money, whether it be a turnaround seed or a new beginning seed, will guarantee a miraculous breakthrough. But the true miracle for these prosperity preachers seems to be the luxurious lifestyles they maintain at the expense of their congregations. The issue is not confined to one region or one type of false teaching. Across the world, from flashy televangelists to deceptive cult leaders, the same pattern emerges. The method remains consistent. False teachers introduce secretly what seems like sound teaching, but is actually destructive heresy. Their deceit is not always blatant. It can often be subtle, cloaked in Christian terminology and sprinkled with scripture, making it harder to discern the lies within. False teaching's damage is not just theoretical. It wreaks real harm in the church. When believers are deceived into expecting guaranteed financial blessings in exchange for their donations, they are left spiritually crushed when those blessings fail to materialize. Moreover, such teachings often reduce God to a divine vending machine, turning faith into a transaction rather than a transformative relationship. When prosperity preachers equate material wealth with divine favor, they distort the gospel's core message, leading many to worship a false God who exists to fulfill their desires rather than calling them to surrender to Christ's Lordship. Peter goes on to describe the mark of false teachers, which is often sensuality and moral compromise. Whether it is sexual immorality, financial exploitation, or abusive control, deviant behavior and deviant doctrine often go hand in hand. As Jude 4 warns, certain people have crept in unnoticed who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. The flashy lifestyles of some modern prophets, complete with luxury cars, mansions, and designer wardrobes, are not merely signs of God's blessing, but rather indicators of greed and deception. The motive for false teachers is often driven by greed. In 2 Peter 2 verse 3, we are told that in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. This is evident in the way prosperity preachers target the poor and desperate, offering them false hope in exchange for what little they possess. The message is clear. God's blessings are for sale, and the higher the donation, the greater the blessing. But genuine spiritual leadership does not exploit, it serves. True shepherds feed the flock rather than feed off the flock. Peter assures us, however, that the destiny of false teachers is certain. Their condemnation is not idle, and their destruction is not sleep. While false teachers may seem to thrive for a time, God's justice will prevail. Peter draws from examples like the judgment of Sodom and the rebellious angels, reminding us that God's commitment to justice remains unwavering. These examples serve as a sobering reminder that while deception may flourish for a season, it will not escape divine accountability. My dear friends, in an age where people often accumulate teachers to suit their own desires, the danger of false teachings looms large. Whether in African Pentecostalism, Western televangelism, or other contexts, the temptation to follow charismatic leaders who promise prosperity, healing, or hidden revelations is strong. The challenge for believers is to discern what is truly biblical from what merely sounds spiritual. We must be vigilant, testing the spirits and aligning teachings with the gospel's central message of repentance, grace, and Christ-centered living. John Stott aptly noted that the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. When teachers distort God's nature and promises to feed human desires, they lead people into idolatry rather than true worship. Such deceit not only misrepresents God, but also undermines the transformative power of the gospel. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, how can we better equip ourselves to discern the difference between true gospel teaching and deceitful doctrines? Number two, in what ways have we allowed cultural expectations of prosperity and success to shape our understanding of God's blessings? Heavenly Father, we ask for your wisdom and discernment to recognize and resist false teachings. Help us to hold fast to the true gospel, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ and not on earthly promises. Guard our hearts from being swayed by charisma or material allure, and strengthen us to stand firm in your word. May we seek your truth above all else and live lives that glorify your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.